Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Hello, my name is Mike, and today's show is brought to you by our Amazon page. Please remember to shop at MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon. It's quite simply the best way to support this show. If you need it, Amazon has it, and you can get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon. Bookmark it, please.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? And now, the best of O'Mara.
Oh, all eyes are on Sochi, Oscar.
Oh, yeah, they are.
Well, with all the Olympic stuff, but one of the things that people were not expecting is the growing feeling of homophobia.
Still?
Yes, still. As a matter of fact, as the Olympic flame was being carried through the village of Voronezh, there was a huge rainbow flag unfurled, and this guy was detained. So who can we talk to get the inside scoop?
Who's that?
Did somebody call my name?
The Olympic flame.
Yes, sorry, I'm here. Shut that Russian music off. I swear to God, baby.
How are you
doing?
It's
so nice. Hello, Rob.
Hello, Flame.
How are you?
I'm well. Say hi to Oscar. I know you're very fond.
Hello, Oscar.
Good morning, Flame.
How are my two favorite boys?
We're good.
So good.
As long as we're not DJs.
Yes. DEEJAY. I understand that. Dig, you Bolivian bastard, you. How are you, boys?
You sound amazing. Well. You sound amazing. You're over there in Russia. Do you feel the love where you are there, or do you feel something else?
No. I do not feel the love. I do not feel the love at all. You know what I feel?
What's that?
I feel iciness. Iciness, iciness, iciness.
You do? What do you feel?
There is iciness everywhere. These people are living in the 18th century, honey. They're living in the dark ages. They do not like people like me. And I've been so embraced wherever I've gone around the world.
Flame, I heard that they've had to manufacture snow. Is that true?
Oh, it's terrible. It's all fake. It's all ruse. They're just big lying Russians is what they are, honey.
You know what I love, Flame? I like when you get serious and you get that sort of introspective sound in your voice.
Well, I have to be secretive because over here in Sochi.
Yes.
That's right, Sochi. Well, you say Sochi, I say Sochi. It's scary. They do not like the Olympic flame over here in Sochi, honey.
Now, that's wild because we've seen you being carried literally around the world, and everywhere you've been embraced.
I remember the great cities I've been through. Paris, New York, Boston, fabulous places where I'm embraced as the Olympic flame, but not with the home crowd of Sochi. No.
Were you ever carried through Manassas?
No, I wasn't. No, I'm afraid if I was carried through Manassas, I might get shot.
Heard that news, did you?
Especially if I was at a Super Bowl party.
Yeah, they'll get you every time, won't they?
Every single time, honey. Yeah, it's so cold in Manassas, and it's so warm in Sochi. Too warm, they're making fake snow. Dirty Russian fake snow, honey.
And it's icy, icy, icy.
Would you do me a favor back in Washington, D.C.?
You bet.
If you see that little old Lindsey Vonn, will you tell her my sympathies, honey? I was pulling for her to fix that knee.
Yeah, you wanted her to win, right?
I sure did. I love little old Lindsey Vonn and Tiger. Ow! The interracial love is the hottest love in the world, honey.
Do you have any sort of love in your life?
Do I have love in my life?
Yes.
I love peoples. I love peoples from all walks of life.
But you don't have a significant other?
Well, I do.
Like a lantern or something?
Well, I just occasionally when I'm in your town, I like to visit my good buddy, the Eternal Flame, over at Arlington National Cemetery.
But I heard you were just friends.
Just friends. It's strictly platonic. We like to talk about fine literature, honey.
Do you love the color yellow?
I love the color yellow. I love the color blue. I love greens, oranges, the orange of a sunset, the blue of a freshly picked blueberry.
Now, what do you like? Do you like when people are carrying you? Do you like when they decorate you, or do you think that's just sort of useless?
Would you like to know what the Olympic flame lacks more than anything else?
I would.
The lovely, strong, warm grip of a human hand. That's what I like, honey. The Olympic flame loves the grip of a human hand. There's nothing like that tight squeeze when a newbie carries the flame for the first time.
Doesn't it get sweaty, though?
Oh, yes. There's certain people that I don't know what they're eating for their breakfasts, but I'll tell you.
Eating for their what?
Their breakfasts.
Sure.
so dumb.
But they get sweaty palms. Yeah. And that makes the Olympic flame very sad. I like a good dry hand.
Now, you are really not an exclusive person at all. You welcome everybody, right?
Every color, every creed, every religion, every man, woman, every sex, every lifestyle, if you know what I mean, honey.
Yeah, sure I do. What is one of your problems is when sometimes you go out? Do you hate when you go out?
Did you go out last night? Did Rob Spiewak go out, or is it just Monday Rob?
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Hang on, where are we going?
I don't know, but I don't like the looks of that tunnel up there.
Hey, Wonka, I want off!
Round the world and home again. That's the sailor's way.
I don't mind this ride, buddy.
Wonka?
What is this, a freak out?
Hey, this isn't funny, Wonka.
You can't possibly see where you're going, Wonka.
You're right. I can't.
Boy, what a great series this would make.
There's no earthly way of knowing.
He's singing.
Which direction we are going. There's no knowing where we're rowing. Or which way the river's flowing. Is it raining? Is it snowing? Is a hurricane a-blowing? Not a speck of light is showing, so the danger must be growing. Are the fires of hell a-glowing? Is the grisly reaper mowing? Yes! The danger must be growing, for the rowers keep on rowing, and they're certainly not showing any signs that they are slowing!
This is
going far enough. White right, sir. Stop the boat.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana, and now, the best of O'Mara.
Our program today is brought to you by FanDuel. You know, baseball is the best, Rob.
Oh, I love it.
And fantasy baseball makes it even better. But face it, with 162 games in a season, it is a grind.
I know. I have my gardening to look at.
I know. You've got to be out in that yard constantly. Watch the poison ivy. It's hard to keep up. The solution is FanDuel.com. FanDuel.com has the hottest thing in fantasy baseball. One day, fantasy baseball leagues with no season-long commitment, no upfront fees. You can play every day or any day. Play today. Be a winner tonight, Rob.
I want to win.
League start at just $1 and go right up to $1,000. Plus, you can win real money with immediate cash payouts. We always love to tell you about Chris Prince. He is a postal worker, and he won over $535,000 with FanDuel.com. Over 245,000 people have also won money. And you can be the next one. FanDuel will pay up to $1 million a day this baseball season. Are you ready how much they're going to pay for the year?
How much?
$400 million.
Baby, I'm in.
Go to FanDuel.com and click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner and use our code TMOS to sign up today. Plus, to get started, FanDuel will match every dollar you deposit, dollar for dollar, up to $200. Hurry, they've extended this offer until this Friday. That's this Friday, so sign up today. And remember to use our code TMOS, FanDuel.com, the leader in one-day fantasy baseball. That's FANDUEL.com. Sign up today.
It's amazing how relationships all seem like they're unique when really there are common threads throughout them. We're talking about watching television programs and the lady wants to stop it to go pee, or she wants to know how it ends, and it just seems like there's a lot of common ground.
It seems to me that TV got more active and harder, not harder to watch, but more involved with The Sopranos. I think that was the first appointment
You're
show that
really
was
invested
so, it was
on a premium
so
side.
Layered and so deep with meanings and plots and everything that you really needed to like shut down the phone, and that's what you did for
it's
an
such
hour.
A gift. It's such a
it
gift
is.
When you get a great, beautifully
that
written television
brought
show.
Brought into
you
your
can,
show every to your house every week.
That you can dive in and you know.
No one did that with Barney Miller.
Yeah. Now one of the things about True Detective was I read a lot about the finale leading up to it, and he said he wasn't going to do anything supernatural. Well, that wasn't entirely true. But at the very, very end, they reveal the killer in the penultimate episode. And
that
so
means next to last.
The next to last one. You see who the... Thank you for giving me that like a month ago.
It's a great word.
I memorized it. Anyway, so they reveal the killer, and it's really kind of a letdown because you're like, he's not all that scary.
Yeah.
And then they let his character develop in the finale in a very short period of time. And that is one of the scariest deals.
Oh, yeah.
With his different dialects. And that's how he got it.
Yeah.
Was he not terrified?
Question as an outsider looking in on this show, and I will watch this show as soon as I finish Breaking Bad. My question for you is this. Do you think that it was made scarier because his transformation was so rapid and kept in that final episode? Or do you think they could have gotten more juice if that transformation had been spread out a little more?
I think by concentrating it, you actually get a little more of a scary factor.
Cool. Okay.
I think that's the way they
do
that.
I assume then it was probably done by choice.
I want to make a phone call, though, here for just a second,
okay,
if you don't mind. I want to see if...
calling Matthew McConaughey?
No, I want to see if this is...
Woody? Hold on. Woody Harrelson?
No, Woody from Toy Story.
Oh.
The little puppet. Not a puppet, toy. Action figure.
Wouldn't that be Tom Hanks?
No. Woody is real.
Right, hold on.
Pal. There's a snake in my boot.
Just a real quickie right here, because before I talk about it, I want to make sure I'm right.
Someone's
poisoned
the water
hole. Carla didn't believe me the other day.
You're calling Carla?
No, calling my mom.
Okay. Oh.
Do you want to call her on Skype?
No, that's right. It's going to be a real quickie.
Okay.
Probably out and about doing stuff.
Yeah, maybe she's at her neighbor's.
Maybe she's having
I'm not
coffee.
Proud of this, incidentally, but I do want to find out if it's true, because Carla said there's no way. Okay, she's not there. Ann Dowd was the wife.
Is she well Ann Dowd?
Ann Dowd was the wife, played the wife of the killer.
Oh, yesterday.
That horrible,
that
creepy lady.
I
believe I may be related to her.
Really?
Really?
A-N-N-D-O-W-D?
I believe she may be a distant cousin. She may be a distant cousin.
Is it D-O-W-D, Dowd?
Yeah.
And it's A-N-N or A-N-N-E?
It's A-N-N-E.
Okay.
She looks like she's related to the lady who plays the protagonist.
She was a monster.
Throw Mama from the Train.
Yeah, Ramsey.
Ann Ramsey.
Gotta love those Irish women.
Now, Ann Ramsey.
They really get they get hit with the good-looking stick.
Also on Goonies.
Right.
That's right. Ann Ramsey, Mike, first cousin of yours, right?
Oscar, I've been doing all the talking. You tell me what you thought of the finale.
I thought the storytelling. How about this? Sometimes a show is so phenomenal as far as how the ride is concerned, is where it takes you.
Mike, she has your nose
psychologically and kind of visually.
Right.
That while the ending was good enough for myself, it was kind of a letdown because you kind of for me because I expected so much more. I expected I liked that there was closure. I thought that one of the guys was going to die for sure. It was too much of
I love that they didn't.
It was too much of a happy ending for me.
Really?
But that's maybe my dark passenger.
I thought, you know, it was great. I think you might be conditioned to liking movies that always have that.
That let you down.
Because I think a lot of modern filmmakers
just like
kind
my
of...
life.
I think, no, but I think... I think that modern filmmakers have gone to darker endings.
Yeah,
a lot
I thought it was going
to
be darker.
Not. And I like the fact that, you know, that right to the very end.
Maybe
line,
happy at the end.
Remember, we're doing spoiler alerts here. So if you don't want to hear about the end of True Detective, you got to turn it down right now.
I went to bed happy.
It's like looking in a mirror, isn't it?
There she is.
She's pretty.
Oh, she does not
you
look
should
like
grow
that
your hair out.
No, she does not look like that in the show.
She looks like Throw Mama from the Train.
She is nasty in this show.
What's her name again?
Ann Dowd.
Ann Dowd.
No, the lady that was in Goonies.
Ann Ramsey.
Both Anns.
Another Ann, yeah. Another Ann.
Yeah, boy.
I like the fact that at the very end, it was kind of maybe the mindset of Matthew McConaughey. I wonder how much influence he had on the script writing when he said, you know, when the line was there about the stars, you know, there's we used to look at the blackness and not the stars. The light is winning.
Yeah.
I like that was a very positive, very positive message that kind of goes along with the way Matthew McConaughey kind of looks at life. And I like
don't
that.
You wish you could live like that, though?
Live
where
like
you
what?
Didn't care about clothes or anything you left in the hotel room, in the hospital room, or you didn't, it's just you were just lived off the land. And if you needed,
she doesn't look like she cares about clothes.
If you need a new
I
pair
didn't
of
see
shorts,
her, I'm looking at a tree.
Oh, it switched. Damn
I think that he is a he's a tortured soul.
Yeah.
Who actually finds redemption from getting this guy.
How about the sniper bit?
Oh, the sniper bit was incredible with the old sheriff.
Yeah, yeah.
I just thought it was... Look, I don't think... It is such a challenge when a show is that popular to have a finale that everybody's going to like.
Better than Seinfeld's finale.
But really,
so many people... You know what? When there's a show that's that big... there is a segment of the population goes into the finale. People that love the show are going to go into the finale ready to hate it because they're disappointed that the show's going to end. There was no way the Seinfeld finale could have ever been embraced by anybody.
Because they were mad
that the show was ending.
All I will tell the producers and the writers of True Detective is, you know, if you're coming back, which you are, please maintain the scary, because the scary, you didn't have any blood, any significant blood, any significant gore. And it really was, you know, you saw a lot of corpses, but I'll tell you.
But it takes skill.
They accomplished their horror. They accomplished their terror in that show without having to hit you over the head with it. And I love that. I thought that was so brilliantly done. And his dialogue, you know, when he was just like, you want to see who Grandpa wants to see? Oh, my God. Just brilliant.
Freaked me out.
Yeah, it was freaky. Nightmare
to the ending. Went to bed with a smile on my face.
Yeah, it was. Regardless. It was adequate. Yeah, it was adequate. Was it the greatest finale? No. Where we're like, oh my God, I can't believe it happened that way.
Well, it was also tough because you thought, and again, spoiler alert, you thought that one of the main characters, really the two characters in the show,
might be guilty.
Might be one of the guys.
Might be one of the guys. And I think in the end, the character development of both Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey was so. They were made so sympathetic in their own various ways, even though Woody Harrelson is an abysmal human being in this series, you wanted them both to be around. Yeah. I didn't want to see him get bumped off, and you know, I got rewarded
with
them alive,
that's good, but in the future, when the show comes back, will they be the detectives again? Will they be back?
Or will they do a different plot arc? It's like American Horror Story.
So the plot arc will be different.
They're not going to be back, and you know, speaking of television shows and my three man crushes, I think we've heard my three man crushes.
Is this a NyQuil talking?
This is something I've had on the list for quite some time.
Baby.
I love me now. The man crush is Matthew McConaughey. He falls into a category of I'm going to go see everything he's in because I love the guy.
When you finally start
pretty good
dating
time
him.
To hitch my star to his wagon that he's won the Academy Award.
When you go out on a limb, Mike. When you get that date with him and you have his ear, please have him put some weight on. He does not look well.
Well, now he's the third of the three. He's not in the top.
He's not your top?
Yeah, the second one that is another guy that I just love. I would love to hang out with. Now, these are guys that are not only I like their work and I like the movies they do and the TV shows they do. I just would love to sit down.
Are we allowed to guess?
Chew the fat. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to guess Scott Pelley.
Exactly.
Matt quickly mentioned something about Matthew McConaughey.
And that guy that substitutes for Charles Osgood on Sunday morning.
Oh, he's great. Well, anybody from CBS Sunday morning.
I completely forgot about this. We had Matthew McConaughey on the show in Baltimore, and we did Big O and Dukes up there, right?
Name dropper? I never had Matthew McConaughey.
That had to be not far long after the Dazed and Confused days.
No, it was maybe 2008. It would have been 2005.
But that's still pretty recent.
Yeah. You have him right around the Lincoln Lawyer?
He was promoting some action film.
All right.
But this is how great a guy this guy is. For promotion's sake, because, you know, Matthew McConaughey would probably make just these love comedies, and he would make romantic comedies. He would make all these like action films.
Yeah, it'd be a boy toy.
Yeah. The movie company had him traveling the country in an Airstream trailer. Because it was part of the movie, right? It was a prop from the movie. It broke down on 495. 495 is basically the beltway around here.
It's
our beltway. Inside, outside, the beltway. People know that.
2:15 p.m. and he's on the beltway. He calls us in the broken down Airstream from the side of the road and does like 20 minutes with us.
Was he cool?
He was totally cool. He's like, just waiting for AAA. You know, he's just hanging out.
Wow.
Right?
How are you?
Most celebrities would just say, F this. I'm not doing the radio phoner. I'm out.
Yeah, they do their 8 minutes.
Yeah, this thing broke up.
Oh, that's Matthew McConaughey's number one.
Do you have a guess, Oscar, for one of his man crushes?
I would say you're into Denzel Washington.
No, that is incorrect, ladies and gentlemen.
He's black.
Number two is Liam Neeson.
Really? Even after Saturday Night Live?
I went to see with my daughters. I went to see what is it called? Nonstop.
Okay.
His little airline disaster. I was, you know what?
Entertained.
It was entertaining. Good. It's what I expected, and he's a sympathetic guy, and I am the fan of Taken. I like Rob Roy. I like all of his. I love Schindler's List. Anything he's in, I just think he's an amazing presence on screen, and
Taken
I love to watch
Taken 2, not so great.
And he also, Taken 2, not that great.
He was probably forced into doing it.
But I will tell you this also. There is something about him, the way he carries himself, that he just seems like a very down-to-earth guy and a very cool guy.
Great talk show guest.
In the right circumstance, he would be a good guy to hang out. What did you say?
It's a good guy to want.
good guy to want.
If you have to really... You
know, I want
to
be with him.
All right.
If you're into that.
I want him. He's older than me, and I want him to take
rugged.
Me.
Oscar, I have a guess for his
movies
number
are taken, but I want him to take me.
At number one, Mike...
that special way.
I'm guessing your number one man crush is Lou Bega, the man who sang Mambo No. 5.
Nice pull.
Oh, God. Thank you very much. No.
Very dashing. How about you, Oscar?
Who's
guess for number
famous
one?
Drummer? Dwight. Who knows? You like
Buddy Rich.
Not Buddy Rich.
Dwight.
It was one of those old-timey
Mike,
names.
Mike, it's famous drummer Dwight Rich.
Are you ready for number one?
Yes.
Number one on my hit parade. You know this already.
Yes.
Everybody should know this. Are you ready?
Yes.
Guys.
George Clooney.
Jared from Subway.
No, really?
Well, there you go.
I mean, he's done phenomenal things.
No, it's Kevin Spacey.
Oh, right now it is Kevin Spacey?
It's Kevin Spacey.
Oh, so is Clooney in the top five? Is Clooney in the five?
I love House of Cards.
He's not attractive.
I love House of Cards.
Although he might have a chance.
I'm not going to bang him, Oscar.
Well, you might have
a chance
with him.
I thought those were your man crushes.
Man crush means I want to hang out with them.
Oh, I thought it was something else.
No, it's not that.
It's a bromance.
I'm not going to make it sexual.
It's what it is.
What it is Kevin Spacey. Not only is House of Cards one of my favorite shows, not only do I love his character in that, not only do I think he's the ultimate cool guy.
He is very cool.
But he also is very cutting edge with modern entertainment delivery systems.
So true.
Like Netflix, the way they deliver that show. And he's just a cool guy in the way he explains it. Oscar showed me the video of when he was talking about binging on television
entertainment
shows.
Entertainment on demand.
And the way we're going to get all of our entertainment on demand. And I thought it was a very, very cool thing.
Clooney's still in the top five?
Probably in the top five.
Yeah, he's good.
With Matt Damon.
Okay. And Michael
Keaton.
Matt Damon's
up there. So there's only one only left for one more.
So Hollywood, get ready to try.
That's right.
There's an open spot.
There's an open spot for each one of you. That's what it is. I do want to mention that...
I'm looking at you, Jason Sudeikis.
People have... guys, if we can we talk about the book for a second?
Yes. Sure.
We're very, very excited about our author friend, Mike Kelly, who's writing a book.
Yes.
Yes, and it's very special. When I point at you, that means effing talk.
I thought you were going for a sound effect.
I'm trying to gasp for a... breath of air, Rob.
I understand, Mike. I understand. We don't normally do this when you have a cold.
Again, the signal that you gave Rob was kind of like to hit a sound effect.
Exactly.
But you are reaching for the tissue.
Sorry. You know, when you're losing oxygen,
I'm sure we'll get the plague.
The hand does tend to flail a little bit.
That's right. But it's good. You did go to a doctor this morning, right?
Yes.
And he said you can keep the foot.
He said I can keep the foot.
Did he give you anything?
No, I got I kicked my shin in the basement when I was moving stuff, and I thought it looked like a melanoma.
Well, you didn't kick your shin.
Isn't it a hematoma?
It looked like
a
melanoma.
Like a hematoma.
A hematoma. It looks really bad.
What's a melanoma?
All right, screw the
melanoma's cancer.
They don't want to talk about the book. I'll talk about the book. It's called Open Mic.
It's a great
coming
book.
Out soon.
Yes, I've read
we'll
most of it.
We'll talk about it when they're in the mood.
We're in the mood.
You can't tell us
you have
skin cancer and then say, let's promote the book.
I've got a boo-boo on my shin. And it lasted for a long time, and it just didn't look like it was healing the right way.
Okay, but that's not melanoma.
So I went to see somebody.
That's not melanoma.
What do you mean? I know it's not melanoma. Well, I found out it's not melanoma.
No, melanoma is like a freckle, though. Like a skin discoloration.
It's a hematoma.
I had skin discoloration.
Like this.
Well, I had a boo-boo that
we're trying
heal.
To help you here. If you go around telling people you have melanoma, you're saying you have skin cancer.
I don't have a melanoma. I thought I might have it. For Christ's sake, that's what I was trying to
say.
Here's the thing.
Yes.
I had a
What do you think melanoma is?
It's skin cancer.
Okay.
It's like a mole or a mark on your skin that gets that.
Totally get it.
This looked like something that wasn't healing, and that's why I wanted to make sure that it was okay. It's not like oozing or anything, but it's a little mark on my shin.
No,
you want to see it?
Yes.
I'd love to see it.
No damp weeping bandages on it or anything?
No, Rob. But thanks for the imagery.
I didn't know.
You dick.
Do you think melanoma comes from banging yourself on a wall? Hitting your shin?
See that?
Oh, that looks more like an infection than a cancer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it's not an infection either.
Well, that's good. So you're well.
He's fine. Yeah, I just wanted to have it looked at. It was like a little boo-boo that I wanted to have checked
Wouldn't
out.
Wouldn't it be? That's smart, though. It's a hematoma, though.
A hematoma is like a cut.
Yes. That gets,
or like a bite or a bug bite.
You would need, say you had, if you had pus growing under there. I know people are
like a blister. Yeah.
Yes. But
do you
why
want to
did
come
you,
around and see
why
it?
Why did you think it was melanoma?
Why don't you come around and see it?
Trying to get to the bottom.
You know what would be right? Is if a software developer
I was
actually
making
cut himself.
A joke about melanoma. I didn't think it was melanoma. I was just wondering
I
why
was
it was.
I was worried about you.
No, it's fine.
If a software developer cuts himself, he gets a hematoma.
There it is.
You see, that's a Todd Moore joke. Don't you think it looks fine?
God.
You know what, Mike? Okay, if you'd stop
I know. You're going to call me a pussy, but I will tell you, I really, really thought that it was something I should have looked at.
The fleecing of America.
Stop.
$30 copay.
Stop picking it.
It's worth it for my own peace of mind. I'm not picking at it, Rob.
Why do you think it's taking so long to heal?
Because the doctor said to me today.
Yes.
He said, first of all, it's nothing. It was maybe a two-minute doctor visit. He said it was, first of all, it's nothing serious.
$15 a minute.
He's like, Jesus.
He said,
Christ.
First of all, can I finish
this, man?
Please.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
He said, first of all, it's nothing serious. Secondly, he said, the shin is notoriously the slowest healing part of the body.
True.
Really?
Thin
based
skin.
On circulation and blood flow and all that stuff.
Paper
that's
thin.
What it is. Paper thin. Well, because of me.
And brittle.
No, I have the same thing.
So he said he was 26. He was on a whitewater rafting trip. Cut his shin on a rock. He said it took 3 months to heal.
I got cleated 2 years ago playing soccer on my shin.
And it took a long time to heal.
Oh, like 6 months.
It takes a ridiculously
and
long
still
time.
Still have a scar.
It's silly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
It's silly. But I didn't know that because I guess my shins have been remarkably bump and bruised. And cut free
for what? Years for years of protective pants.
Did you hear that it was 70
that's
degrees
right, Rob,
you're
yes.
like, oh, it's short pants weather.
Yes.
I can't go out with this,
can't show
boo-boo.
People with this horrible this weeping sore.
So the one thing the doctor
didn't
say
Carla
to me,
didn't Carla stop you from going?
No, she actually wanted
really?
Me to go. She actually wanted
oh,
me to go.
God.
You think I shouldn't have gone?
No,
no, man.
$30 copay. $30 copay.
Hey, $30 is a lot of money to me. Isn't it a lot of money
it's
to
a
you?
Lot of my, it's worth. Is it worth my peace of mind?
Yeah, can you
my,
put a price on peace of mind?
You know, I'm sorry. I don't have 15 doctors in my family that I can call on the Hispanic hotline.
No, the only person he has in his family is Ann Dowd.
He played a beast. In True Detective. I will double check that with my mom tonight.
You should.
And I will confirm whether she is related to me or not.
Let's say,
I don't know, get some Neosporin.
I couldn't be more proud. Can I say one thing before
yes,
the music
please.
Starts?
Oh, I'm sorry, yeah.
Because I'd like to do that talk up when we come back.
Okay, you bet.
But I'll tell you this. The doctor said there's a wet school of thought and a dry school of thought.
Yeah, there is.
The wet is you put antibiotic ointment on it, and you do it that way, and then he's a dry guy. He says, don't touch it. Just let it
scab up. No, but you want to put some Neosporin on there, so at least you don't want the scarring to be as bad as it.
That's right. Mike, you don't want to ruin your pristine body.
The rent stays the same.
The rent stays the same.
But it's everywhere.
And then De Niro just basically going. And then the black can. Remember, he shoots the guy. He like touches the light bulb. Hey, what do you do, Vito? Ah, great movie.
It is.
I was they ran a marathon of The Godfather this past weekend.
Yeah, but you know what? It was on AMC,
and they put commercials
oh,
in it, and
lousy.
They edited, and they edit out the gratuitous violence. Mm. You
they
can't
edit out
do
the
that.
Violence.
They edit out the violence. Oh, 100%. Yeah,
oh, that's
absolutely.
No good. No.
They'll show the
so
guy.
So does Sonny just disappear? They don't explain why.
No, for example,
where's he been? I don't know. We sent him to the toll booth. We ain't seen him.
You'll see a guy. You know what? And this is how critical I am of it. You will see a guy get shot in the chest, and you will see him bleed. You will not see a person shot in the face with blood. The Mo Green hit, which is one of the most famous, he shot through the eye,
yeah.
And you see the glasses break, and then the blood comes out.
Uh-huh.
They show the glasses break, and then they cut.
Wow.
Yeah, it's very,
I feel
very...
like there's worse things on TV.
What's
like
that?
That's like the that's
oh my god!
Out of all the things you're going to edit out,
absolutely. Mm. I mean, there's tons of stuff that's much more gratuitous.
Turner would never do that.
Look at CSI.
Oh, CSI has shown number 3.
You know what it is, Rob? Could it be? Could it be just that's the way they've always edited it? It's the edited cut, and that's the way they run it?
You know, for years, they had that problem with Blazing Saddles, the original TV edit.
Right.
Because it was done when it was done. It aired and aired and aired. They left the N-word in, but took out the farts.
Weird.
How backward is that?
Very strange.
Yeah.
The censors. Who
I'm not surprised you know that. Fun.
Well, no, I'm pleased that they actually... They've gone and fixed their ways.
Well, I had a whole discussion that I wanted to start the show with about my Facebook apology. I'm going to table that because I want to get right to our boy, Oscar Santana.
Haven't we been told that tabling something means bringing it up? I think we've been using it wrong for
really?
Years.
Really?
Let me check, but I think...
I thought you tabled it till next time.
Let me see what... Let me do this.
But don't worry about it. Okay. Get the Oscars music. That's what
oh,
we need.
Oh, are we
going to
do Oscars World?
It's time for Oscars World while you're doing checking my grammar.
You don't want to use table wrong.
Yes. Well, I
correct.
Said eight. I said eight. I misused atypical for forever. Yeah. I misused atypical for a long, long time.
God.
But anyway,
this
we're going
music.
To we're going to put my Facebook
Oscars
apology
World.
On the back burner.
Boo!
too.
And we're going to get to Oscar Santana's world.
Boo. Oscar's world.
Oscar's world. The first thing about I want to ask you about is your health. Because
yes.
You were talking before the show about the fact that you have been caffeining up with your energy drinks and your caffeine.
A mile a minute. He came in here like he was on a rocket ship.
Yeah, and what you're talking about is not a good situation, but well, give us the details.
Heavy lies the crown, Mike. So,
okay, that's not the expression. It's heavy lies the head that wears the crown. And table it has
Thanks,
two
Rob.
Meanings.
Oh, here we go.
In America, you used it correctly, but what we were told is that in Great Britain, it means the opposite.
Okay, so if I used it correctly in America, what does that tell you?
It says that you're an American and you love the country.
No, it tells me don't correct when you're not correct.
This isn't Downton Abbey.
Well, only correct when you're not correct.
Do we not
only
have people,
correct when you're correct?
We have people downloading in the United Kingdom and they were cheering me. Say, Pip, Pip, he's correct.
If you are in the United Kingdom, send us a Facebook message.
Please yes. do.
Let us know, because we know we have Ireland listeners. We have that lovely lady in Ireland, and hello to her.
Yes.
But I want to make sure if we've
Maggie
got some listeners.
Maggie is her name. Maggie McGill, isn't it?
Yeah. She's the founding member of O'Charlie's.
Hey, who wants some beer battered shrimp today? Our chicken fingers are particularly crispy.
My father wasted no time in posting the actual O'Charlie's logo on my Facebook page.
Oscar, and this is Oscar's world too, because yes. Oscar and I were both bitching about this. Speaking of your dad, I hate to digress. We will get to your health
no
in
problem.
A second.
Yes.
But Oscar and I both bitched about the same thing to Pony when he came in. And this is, I just want to be as gentle as I possibly can.
But pointed.
But I want to make it clear.
Yes.
And Horny Bob Spiewak is a very nice man.
The greatest.
He certainly likes the ladies. He would not say this.
Popular.
And I probably don't have any control over this, but I'm just going to give you my preference. The Horny Bob Spiewak pinup of the day
yes.
is for the dudes out there that want to see women in bikinis.
Hear, hear.
And I'm tired of the women trying to horn in on my bit. That is
well,
my
said.
Idea.
I second the motion.
I don't need to see effing beefcake right underneath the girl with the big cans.
Doesn't it ruin your day when you tune in looking to see bikini and you see Alexander Skarsgård?
Yes, yeah, know. Come on. Or I see George Clooney. Knock it off. Stay away from our bit.
It's a no beefcake zone.
That's it.
If
we want to see the women with the tan and the
that's
big
right.
jabuzas.
New one.
That's what we want to see.
That's
the
a
big jabuzas.
Jabuzas.
That's a new one.
And he's been on a roll with these great yes. bikini women that are really zoftic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, that means they have big jabuzas.
Big jabuzas with tans. There was one when I was down in Florida. Just spectacular. And the fact is.
And the rent stayed the same.
The rent stayed the same. As far as when die. You put, when you put. Channing Tatum.
Yeah, you don't want that.
Underneath our Horny Bob Spiewak
pinup of the day.
Cake.
Yeah, you know what it does?
Jesus.
It cheapens the pinup.
Oh, God.
And we don't want to like, cheapen the pinup.
You know, let me ask you. Let me ask you, Hens, something, okay? you need equality on everything. Is that where we're going? I'm
Jesus.
All for
it. Let them vote.
I'm one of the people. I am a champion of equal pay for equal work.
Right.
I believe that 77 cents on the dollar is a disgrace.
Travesty.
A disgrace.
A father of two daughters.
That's right.
Yes. Yes.
I
and
love
many
my
wives.
Girls. Yes. I love women.
Oh, my God. So
and
true.
Some women at
wives.
Times of their lives have loved me. But...
Never
I'm here
in
to
a
tell
row.
You. You know, this is one. Let us have our moment.
Please.
Let us have our
Don't
little
muck
moment.
It up.
And,
yeah.
You know, it destroys it when I've got to look at the Horny Bob Spiewak pinup of the day, and then right below it, I've got George effing Clooney holding a pug dog.
Yeah, don't come into our virtual garage
right.
and take away our wrench calendar that has the beautiful women on it.
Right, and I don't want to be sexist.
Please.
And so if you misconstrue this, it's your own problem. But little lady.
It's on you.
Let me tell you something, little girl.
Yes.
Missy. I really don't want your pretty little head to get all worried about putting your own pictures up underneath Horny Bob Spiewak, okay?
And
you want to do that? Go to, you know, the Horny Lady picture of the day.
And really, I mean, if you want to really break
that was
it down,
well said, wasn't it?
When are they having the time to post these pictures when they really should be cooking and cleaning?
Oh, there you go. Okay, that's Rob.
Come on.
That's Rob now. Rob, as usual, he has taken it too far.
Well, what I've done is I've sort of taken the bullet away from you.
Thank
haven't
you.
I?
All right. Send the letters to Rob.
Two B's and Rob. Okay?
Well, this is so upsetting that I know that Oscar Santana felt numbness in his arm.
He did. Are okay. We're back
so,
to this now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, my day started at 4 a.m.
Oh,
God.
No, Jesus.
La, 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 la.
Oscars world.
I really hate you. Jesus.
So you had a big business meeting yesterday.
Yeah, but my day started at 4 a.m.
Really?
Because my lovely girlfriend Shannon had an early class to teach at 5:30 in the morning, right?
Wow.
So she wakes up at 4. Starts her regiment.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm awake.
Regimen.
Oh, damn it.
No, maybe she's hired a lot of people. You don't know.
Fall up. Sounds good.
You jerks.
Okay. I want 100 yoga scalps.
Today is Christmas.
There will
be a yoga class at 08:30.
It's the Shannon Regiment.
Okay. So that's, you understand now?
Yeah.
So you learn that. You usually remember. The regiment is like a big bunch of army men, and the regiment is a routine that you do.
Her routine.
Very good.
Takes about an hour to get out the door.
Right.
She wakes up at 4.
Mm-hmm.
I'm awake.
What does she stretch and stuff like that?
I don't know what she does.
She just doesn't take a very direct route to the door.
She might be building a birdhouse. She just makes a lot of noise.
She makes a lot of but getting ready for her class.
Yes.
So she's all perfumed and sweet smelling.
Don't
for that
know.
Class.
I'm just trying to
Sorry.
Sleep.
Just enjoy my
Okay, excuse me.
I think Mike is about to start his own regimen.
No, I
can't sleep. Turn on Fox 5 or NBC4. Just start watching the news, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I said, okay, well, today's a long day. We've got two shows.
Yes.
Got a big meeting.
Right.
And then it just is a long day.
It is a very long day.
So
it's a long week for me.
My
it's
usual
long day for
regimen
us.
Is on like a really busy day, I take 2 5-hour energies, 10-hour energy.
Incidentally, can I just say about my long day, when I say I've got a long day, I watched The Real Sports Profile on Boomer Esiason, who had the son with cystic fibrosis, and that man...
Saw that.
I have never had more respect for anybody in my entire life. CF was a charity that Mark Rippon was involved in, too, cystic fibrosis. The fact that his kid is still doing well with that disease just...
How old is this boy?
21.
21, and Boomer Esiason, Saint Boomer. Forever have I changed. If you get a chance, take a look at Real Sports with Bryant Gumbel when they profile Boomer Esiason. Absolutely an amazing human being.
Class guy behind the scenes, too.
Oh,
always
what
has
a great
been.
Guy.
Always has
Terrific
been.
Terrific human
now,
being.
Now, question about your 5-hour energies.
Yes.
Now, they're the little guys. Like they're like the little vials that have the energy drink.
Yeah, and I usually drink the extra 5 hours.
I always worry when you drink those.
But why do you take two at a time? Wouldn't it be better to take one and then wait 5 hours and take another?
Well, you're right. But in my eyes, just like any type of drug.
More is better.
Well, not more is better. After a while, it starts kind of not working.
Oh, yeah. You build a tolerance.
Right. Yeah. You build a tolerance.
And I don't do a lot of caffeine, believe it or not.
Yes.
I don't. And
you really only do it to fight your migraines, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, and caffeine is not my friend. I mean, I think caffeine is...
I'm a big caffeine guy.
You too.
You drink a lot of 5-hour energy. Yes. You drink it a lot.
Probably not healthy.
I think a lot of people your age do the energy drinks and stuff like that.
I'm such a caffeine junkie that if I don't have time to get coffee in the morning, I will take Excedrin. Without having a headache, because if I don't
have the caffeine,
if I don't have the caffeine, I'll have a horrible headache by noon.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Wow. Well, that does happen. So basically,
so you take that to boost your energy.
Doesn't it show?
It's called cutting him off at the pass. He's going, I'm going to go through the intersection before you do.
All right. So throughout the meeting, having a great meeting, but a long, really detailed meeting, right? And they're drinking coffee.
Right.
And I was like, well, I should have a cup of coffee as well.
Right.
Sure.
Forgetting that I took the 10-hour energy.
So you took 2 5-hour energies.
Then had 4 cups of coffee.
4 cups?
While sitting and having this meeting with these gentlemen.
This is not good, Oscar. This is
Clearly.
Not healthy.
How do you take your coffee?
Black.
Of course.
Like and my, where do you
like
do
my
is,
women.
Is there a is there a place is there a place where you get your coffee? Do you have a Starbucks? Is that your favorite?
I would go, well, you know, whatever.
7-Eleven would work.
Yeah,
for
I'll
you.
Go anywhere. Does I'm not a coffee snob.
Does your dad ever mail you coffee from the plantation?
My dad does this. He does bring. We do have Cuban.
Right.
We do have Colombian.
Ooh.
We do. We have coffee from around the world.
So coffee was a big part of your household.
Yeah, when he comes back. I've been drinking coffee since I was probably 2 years old.
Okay.
El café, wow. As my dad would say, right?
Café.
Yeah, cafecito.
Oscar, drink more café.
Cafecito, is that a small cup of coffee?
No, no. You know, this is my dad's bit is, and it's funny because
I didn't know his dad had a bit.
I did this growing up. My dad doesn't like doing anything, like as far as domestic.
Right.
Because, you know, truly, he does pay the mortgage and take care of business.
So he comes home and he wants his house to be his castle and he wants to be waited on.
Sure. So his bit, as we assimilated in the States, has been always, hey, is there anything to drink? And subconsciously, one of us...
The best of O'Mara.
Hey, everybody. This portion of the Mike O'Mara Show brought to you by our good friends at Sleep Number. I love my Sleep Number. Not only do I love it, Carla loves hers, too. And we got ours all packed up and sent down to Florida where we set it up, and it is working beautifully. Each side of the Sleep Number bed uses air to support and cushion your entire body. It is life-changing for me. It changed the way my back felt. It contours to your neck, shoulders, back, and hips for the best spinal alignment. Now, you've considered getting a Sleep Number bed, but you thought you couldn't afford one? Let me tell you, can you really afford another sleepless, restless night? You can't. Do it now. Introducing the all-new Sleep Number P5 that features the latest innovations, comfortably priced. I love my Sleep Number, and you will too. My Sleep Number setting is a 60, and it is beautiful. Carla loves her 75 Sleep Number setting. She loves that firm mattress, and we both sleep like babies in perfect comfort. Right now, save $400. That is the lowest price ever on the popular Sleep Number P5 bed. It's glorious. Find your Sleep Number setting today at any of the 425 Sleep Number stores nationwide. Find one near you by calling 800-511-0061. That number again, 800-511-0061. Tell them Mike O'Mara sent you. Okay, so Oscar stayed over, did an amazing job with the outside of the house, got through the blizzard. You guys were all able to park comfortably today, no problem at all.
Wonderful. As he calls your carport, the helipad. He says the helipad is clear. Like what? Well, Tom Jones is going to be flying in for his show.
Right. The helipad has been cleared. The driveway has been cleared. And Rob, you went home to... get your Beatles album, which I guess was a big deal for you because it came in yesterday, and then you took another one of those womanly selfies that you like to take.
It's not a womanly selfie. It's
Rob,
a tradition.
From the bottom of my heart, that is pure chick. That is the same look that a chick gives when she's looking at her ass. The only thing is you were showing a copy of the Beatles.
I wish that a woman's ass would be as beautiful as this Beatles box set.
I'm finding it right now.
It's a tradition, and it began whenever you would get a new piece of vinyl, a new LP, that you go into the mirror and you take a picture of yourself, or at least I do, of the LP because you're excited that you're going to open and listen to it. Well, this was exciting because I don't normally do this for compact discs.
What is wrong with you?
Oh, you know what? It's only an hour show. Jeez. We really don't have time to get into all that. But I was very, very excited. Been waiting for this release probably 20 years. I can tell you, the original Beatles LPs came out in 87, February of 87.
Can I say this to you? I'm only going to say this once.
Okay, good.
Can't you try to be more like your old man?
No, I can't.
Can't you try to be more like your
father? You wouldn't
I'm
buy it.
I'm looking on your page.
You
and
wouldn't
the,
buy it.
There is the TMOS HBS pinup of the day.
Yes.
Your father, which to me is doing the good work of American
working
males
hard.
Everywhere.
Of
He's
course.
Working hard. He's putting that. And today, incidentally, HBS, Bob, Mike here. Look forward, hopefully, to seeing you and the lady and your good lady at the Super Bowl party at Jimmy's. I'm going to tell you this, Bob. No one has ever grabbed a job, free of charge, I should add.
Yes.
Right.
And done an incredible job more than the HBS pinup of the day. The man is going to get, he is working already at this young stage of 2014. Horny Bob Spiewak is working already on getting the most valuable player award for 2014.
Breakneck pace.
You know what they say, Mike, find something you love and
yes.
you'll never work a day in your life.
You know what? I will tell you, over the years, really, up until we started doing the podcast together, my path and Bob Spiewak's path, Rob's dad, crossed maybe three times
yes.
total in the whole time. Since we've been doing the podcast, our paths have crossed. It has gotten now better every time I get together with the man, and he just took the moniker, which we created, of Horny Bob Spiewak. He ran with that.
Yes.
That made me extraordinarily
really happy. And then when somehow the pinup came up, he's just taken this job and he dives in.
Great. Did it surprise you?
Something you ought to learn from, my boy.
What, putting up pinups? I don't want. That's like, I don't go shovel the walk after Oscar's already shoveled the walk. If he's putting up pinups, let him put up pinups. But that's his deal.
You know what I'm talking about. Stereophonic.
What about,
you know what I'm talking
well,
about.
Well, mono and stereophonic on many of these CDs. The great thing.
What
two
is,
mixes.
What is the tradition of, and I didn't know this tradition, it might be an American tradition, when you get an album, you take a picture of it?
No, it's simply a Rob tradition.
Oh, okay.
And it started.
There you go.
I will keep this brief.
That says it all there.
But it goes back a couple years. Someone one time sent someone sent me a message on Facebook saying, have you ever heard, and this is like maybe 2 years ago, have you ever heard Mel Brooks and Carl Reiner's album, The 2,000-Year-Old Man? And that to me is like a kick in the nuts because I memorized that LP when I was five.
Mm-hmm.
So to reply, I went and got my LP, Mel Brooks and Carl Reiner and The 2,000-Year-Old Man, and took a picture of myself holding it.
Yes.
And from that, other people started putting up pictures of themselves holding it.
But it's that big, serious face that you have.
You have to be serious about it.
I hate those pictures.
Would you like me to be more happy when I do it?
You know I love you. I hate
those
pictures.
And Mike, I love you.
I hate those pictures.
Why?
Those pictures, they suck.
No, they don't.
They're chickish.
They're wonderful. They're great. It's a boy that's excited.
Whenever I jump on Rob's page, I always like, there he is, Tab Patterson.
It pleases me that you like the Claxton fruitcake.
Okay, why don't you guys jump in a hot tub and wash each other's dukes?
Oh, wow. Really? Wow. Such anger.
Yeah,
it's fake anger. These, not real anger. That's why it's funny.
These album pictures, and Mike's right. The way that you present yourself is much like a woman that's in like either a hot bikini or doing the duck lips. Like, this is right. My outfit of the day. This is your album of the week.
Well, sort of, yeah. But you don't smile for it, because if you smile, you look like a doofus.
Well, yesterday you were, were you anticipating during the Audio Vault the Beatles album coming in when you did the Audio Vault for yesterday?
I said in the Audio Vault, I said that mine will be waiting for me when I get home, because I ordered
it. So that's why you did that segment, right?
Well, also I wanted
people
to know.
Where you had that little piece of audio, and when I heard that, when you did that yesterday, seriously, when you were talking about it, I was listening to this. This is what I heard.
Funny, didn't show. Well, you notice, I hope you noticed that when I was doing that, and that was essentially a backhanded shill to drive people to Amazon, because that's where I bought my copy of this box set that's 30 years
old. You're obsessed with the Beatles.
Yeah, but it's
fine.
It's a great release.
You both of you really exposed me to the Beatles 3 years ago, if I'm not mistaken. And
that's when we brought you to Ringo's house for lunch. Thank you. You're welcome.
What happened was,
gave us the thank you we deserve.
It was 3 years ago during the blizzard when Ringo needed his driveway shoveled. We said, this young man will shovel your driveway.
And it was the tender moment was when Oscar went off into, I guess they would call it the drawing room of the Star Mansion, the Ringo Star Mansion. And, Ringo pointed out to Oscar on his giant screen TV that he's got Playboy 1 and 2. I've got Playboy 1 and 2 over here.
He said, I was wondering if maybe you wanted to watch some softcore porn with me.
If you enjoy this, I've got some... listen, I'll leave you to your own devices. Dinner's in 45 minutes. You'll notice over on the end table there's a big bottle of Nivea and a box of Kleenexes.
Hey, thanks for shoveling. Listen, they don't show penetration. But it's really jolly good to meet you. Peace and love, peace and love.
Peace and love, everybody. How about those Beatles?
So I can take the Beatles. I still can't take your obsession with Elvis.
All right,
for some reason.
But you see, you'll learn. You'll learn.
And I don't mind his obsession with Elvis, because that's sort of campy. Mm-hmm. And I know it's based kind of in the music, but also Rob totally embraces the jive side of the whole Elvis experience.
The Elvis story is one of the great American tragedies, if you want to really get into it. I mean, a man who had everything and lost everything, and now he's become as iconic as Coca-Cola or Jesus Christ.
Not Jesus Christ.
Did he lose everything?
You've just offended Christians all over the world.
He is as recognized as an icon worldwide in the same circles as Jesus Christ, yes.
No way.
Mm-hmm.
There's no chance.
And moreover, Mike, Jesus never had a number one record.
There's no chance. Blasphemy.
No, I don't.
Our
I don't mean it
star,
as a
Duarte in Graceland. Hallowed be thy name. Thy guitar come. I will be Viva Las Vegas.
Why is it a tragedy?
Because he was a young, talented.
That's a tragedy.
That is a tragedy. Young, talented, beautiful, wonderful star. Very,
see, there
very,
you go. There what? You get chickish. There you get in the hot tub while getting your Duke washed.
Okay, yeah. After I wash my Duke, do you want to like argue with the girl. Fact? Do you want to argue the fact that Elvis was a good looking guy?
I mean, he was okay.
Okay, who's better looking
like
than
guy.
Elvis?
What?
Who's better looking than Elvis?
As far as
Brad
like,
Pitt?
Brad Pitt, James Dean,
easy.
No, George Clark Gable, no. Cary Grant,
no. Maybe
Leonardo DiCaprio.
George Clooney.
maybe.
incidentally, this is a discussion I've been waiting finally, finally, they've
finally
asked.
It's out there.
Maybe Lyle Wagner, but I think Elvis was, okay.
Elvis was fake. He had fake hair.
Yeah.
He had fake hair.
He dyed his hair. Big deal. Not
but
his whole
also,
career.
Yeah, but I mean, he was fake in that amusement park kind of way.
No, he wasn't.
That you like so bad. That's
oh,
why
and
you
that,
like him
that,
so much.
You're going to beat that drum again. No, it's not. He's not fake. He has a real
because
voice.
It all seems to come together on the show lately. Your little stint out in Las Vegas where you took me to, you know, all the stuff that
the
you
tortellini
to
guy.
Do, that was, and I will tell tortellini. You that it all comes together. Elvis is, here's the word, and this is something Horny Bob Spiewak would not do.
What's that?
Elvis is phony.
Not in every respect. An Elvis impersonator is phony, sure. And we went, and that was half a goof.
Rob, the sequin jumpsuit, the jet black hair with the long sideburns, the karate poses up on stage, the throwing of the handkerchiefs out into the audience.
When he was a sheriff.
Every aspect of most of his career when he became iconic and a Vegas performer is shtick that people laugh at.
It's show business.
Yes, it's show business.
Used to market and to you know further promote him as an entertainer. But that's why it's a tragedy. Because he did become a joke even before he died. And
yes,
that's why
did.
It is one of the great American tragedies. He could have been.
I don't disagree with you that it's a tragic story. But
right.
I mean, it's just, I don't know.
Not a great American tragedy.
Well, I don't know. It's pretty great. And he's absolutely American. The music, most of the music holds up. There's some garbage music in there, and I will be the first to admit it. I'll play you some of the garbage
music. You would say that a great American tragedy is Elvis, and I think it's sad that Elvis did that to himself. But to me, a truly great, if you want to put it in the music venue, a truly great American tragedy was the shooting of John Lennon.
Okay,
that
I
was
agree.
Something. That
I
was
agree.
Something where you know John Lennon was really still making good music,
top of his game,
was still writing, was still creating, and. You know, was struck down by a maniac, whereas Elvis, you know, because of his lack of self-control, surrounded himself with a bunch of sycophantic yes men that allowed, you know, him to, you know, bloat up and die because he was filled with narcotics.
Would you call the suicide of Kurt Cobain a tragedy?
Yeah, of
okay.
course.
Yeah. Well,
I think
then I would say that you
dies,
can parallel.
It's tragic.
You can parallel the fact Elvis essentially, although he did not go out and shoot himself. He committed suicide. He let himself die. And when even his last concert, he still had his voice. And if he was able to somehow make it out of his 42nd year, I think he could have bounced back and been great. And I think that's tragic. Because
I
if you think he's 42.
I think what you're doing is what a lot of Americans do. You're idealizing the legend of the performer. I think that the irrefutable fact was Elvis for a good 10 years. Prior to his death, the music industry had passed him by.
Only about 5 years. He was still at the top of his game in January of 73. You have to look at the Hawaii special, and that's a man at the top of his game.
Yeah, but
you know,
but,
I'm going to do that right after the show.
Show it to you. I have the DVD in my car.
But for a certain segment of America, even back then in 1973, music had already passed Elvis by. You had the British invasion. That's what was happening with music. The British invasion was followed by, you know, the punk rock scene. That's what you had. Music was evolving. And
sure.
Elvis would never be. You know, Elvis would, if he had lived, if he had continued to go on, he would have been just like Wayne Newton.
I disagree because I think he is more talented than Wayne Newton. And you can't
say
he's
more talented probably is, and he's got a bigger hit collection, obviously, than Wayne Newton.
But you can't say that the British invasion was the end of it. For example, he had the amazing run in 69 and 70 when he was recording songs like Suspicious Minds, Don't Cry Daddy, Kentucky Rain. Granted, he wasn't changing the face of rock and roll, which he sort of invented. invented in 1956, and that's a pretty big deal as it is. Okay. But he continued to chart records. He continued to be an entertainer.
So you
he sold out every show he ever played in Las Vegas.
You just, God, this is what he's doing. He's turgid right now because he's spewing out his Rolodex of Elvis facts, which he wants to do. And that's what he wants. He would do that every day if I let him. He would do that every single day. I'm telling you, do you think if he had really lived, say he had gotten his act together, gone into
rehab. There's lunch.
Ah, here comes
there's
the BLT.
Cleaned himself up.
Is she in a towel?
Oh, hey now.
Carla.
Wow.
Carla, you want to come back in and show the boys the towel?
Guess what? I don't want to talk about Elvis anymore.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on. she left. Yeah. She's gone. It's not lunch. It's a bottle of water that I requested.
Yeah, but the way she presented it, that's all in presentation.
That's right.
Isn't that fun? Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, here's the point. I don't think.
You eat with your eyes.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
You think he would have had a comeback of what type of comeback? Where would he have fit in? In the, you know, in that way, he would have been doing jumpsuit shows probably till the day he died.
I don't think so.
Well,
he
wasn't going to have a comeback.
Why not?
Well, how could he?
If he had gotten himself straight, if he had lost weight, if he had gotten off drugs, and keep in mind.
If ifs and buts were candy and nuts, oh, what a party we'd have.
Do you know what didn't exist in the late 1970s is celebrity rehab. It just didn't exist.
It doesn't work for everybody.
But if it had existed and he was able to change himself, I have always thought he would have become an iconic country singer. His sound was leaning country towards the end of his life. I think you could have put him up with like a Johnny Cash.
You really do love the man.
I do. Jeez. I think he is. And it's sad.
Fan.
It's really sad when you look at how great some of the things he did that still exist and that was taken away. He was so young. He was my age. He was 42 when he died.
But do you but look, the Beatles has their music has transcended generations.
Exactly. But
has Elvis's music? I don't think so. I don't know a girl that's even like into like old school like rock and roll that says, "Do you know this? This Elvis song." Right?
You're
I
not
going to
hear
Elvis
"Love
song.
Me Tender" on the number of radio stations. You're going to hear the Beatles.
True enough.
Every single day.
But you see,
so
you got two different things.
Lasted.
You've
it
got two different things. But you see, that's like saying that, say, music of the 1930s and 40s that set the table for rock and roll, say Louis Jordan, doesn't hold up. It's not being
Who's
listened
Louis
to.
Louis Jordan?
Jazz combo.
Well,
guy.
Why don't use Louis Jordan? Use Frank Sinatra.
Okay, Frank Sinatra.
Frank Sinatra has held up. He's
all blue eyes.
Generations.
But his early records, the ones that set the table, they really haven't held up. You're not going to hear anybody hearing his stuff with like the Pied Pipers, like "I'll Never Smile Again." But it sort of set the table for vocal groups, which would set the table for rock and roll. And you have to be aware of the history of where music came from. And Elvis, as the first performer to really bring rock and roll into the mainstream, into people's homes. That's why it's important.
Okay,
but let me ask you this. What about the jive factor, Rob?
The jive factor is part of it. The jive factor is part of it. And
But you can't say it's a good part of it.
No, but it's a fun part of it.
It's a fun part of it to make fun of.
Yeah,
absolutely. A lot of people, you know, look at Elvis. Why are all the impersonators around? Because he is easy to impersonate.
These are the two things I know about Elvis. That one stamp that the USPS came out with that they made a big deal about.
Yeah, 92 right. or 91,
yes.
Yeah.
And then his one hit, the only title that comes to mind is Ain't Nothing But a Pound Dog.
Hound Dog.
About a hound dog.
Pound dog.
And that's all I know.
Well,
it
that's
ain't
really
nothing
all
but a pound town.
And I think with that, Oscar, that might be all you really need to know.
Let me ask you this, Rob, before you go to the music.
Mad.
Hold
okay.
on, turn on the music.
Go ahead.
I want to ask you this. Okay. As far as Elvis is concerned, you have tickets to In Their Prime, which would be Elvis in, say, 1971.
Okay.
And the Beatles in 1966. And Frank Sinatra in, whenever. He had a couple of comebacks.
Right.
Who do you go to? Who are you going to go see?
With all of those laid out, I would probably, and killing myself, not an option at this point, I would say I would go see Elvis of the three.
Oh, my goodness.
Consider me educated.
Because you know why? You would never hear the Beatles in concert. They never were amplified loud enough that you could hear them. It would be like seeing them on stage for 45 minutes, and then they'd walk off. Okay. Elvis you could hear, and Elvis had a tremendous organization behind him, and Elvis really, really could sing. I think it would be Elvis.
And Elvis was that schmaltzy showbiz that you love so bad.
And you know what? Color me guilty there. I love there show business. Okay, I do.
There we go. Show business.
Show business.
On that note, that was a little view into the soul of Rob Spina.
And education as well.
That was fun. We'll take a break and come back with news you may not need on the Mike O'Mara Show right here, everybody. The man in the Mac says.
the best of O'Mara.
One of those days, just frantic getting all this stuff in here. So much to talk about.
Maybe you need some gelato.
Don't feel like I got any of my points across.
Do you have a craving?
No. No, none whatsoever. Yeah, I do.
We can send an intern.
You know what I'd like to do? I have a craving for some soda pop.
Oh man.
I would love some soda
pop.
But
where do we have to go somewhere to get it?
I hate to have to carry the soda. It's so heavy.
You don't have to do that either.
What?
You can go into my kitchen and use my soda stream machine.
Get out of my kitchen!
It's the fizziest gift of the holiday season. Perfect for the whole family and for anyone who enjoys sparkling beverages.
Hi there, beverage.
You can make a huge variety of sparkling drinks in less than 30 seconds with a SodaStream Home Soda Maker. Favorites like Ocean Spray Sparkling Cranberry Juice drinks. Or try the SodaStream Happy Hour Cocktail Mixers like Fizzy Margarita and Cosmopolitan.
Do they have one that tastes like a meatball?
Where's that meatball? Super easy to use. Just fill the bottle with cold water, push the button to carbonate the water, and add your choice of flavor, and that's it. You got a great homemade soda.
Best grape soda in the world.
Make it the way you like it. You control the flavor. You control the fizz. It's useful. It's fun. It's delicious. SodaStream. Truly the perfect holiday gift. And don't forget to buy one for yourself, too, because it's great for holiday entertaining.
Yep.
I saw one in a big box store the other day.
Mm.
SodaStream costs less than $100. It's available nationwide at Bed Bath & Beyond, Walmart, Target, Costco, and all of your favorite retailers. Check out SodaStream.com to find stores near you. SodaStream, better bubbles made by you.
From around the globe, across the nation, looking through your neighbor's window, the Mike O'Mara Show now presents News You May Not Need. A comprehensive look at the stories you may or may not be talking about during your daily activity. And now, news you may not need.
Just don't feel like I made any of my points today.
I think you've done better than you think. When you listen back to the show, as you do every day, you'll see that you did very well.
Thank you. Time magazine selected Pope Francis as its Person of the Year today.
Francis!
saying the Roman Catholic Church's new leader has changed the perception of the church in an extraordinary way in a short time. Always like it when two things happen. And it can go sometimes in a very different way with the Person of the Year. I like it when it's somebody that everybody knows.
Yes.
So the Pope fits that category, and also somebody who's done some good in the world. I like that as well.
Because they always set the table. They have made exceptionally evil people Person of the Year.
Yeah, I think Hitler was
one in like 37 or 38, I think. I was surprised that Robin...
The difference between me and you is I don't remember the year.
I'm shocked Robin Thicke didn't get it. Maybe next year, buddy.
The former Argentinian cardinal, his name, real name, Jorge Bergoglio.
Or something.
He was selected in March as the first Latin pope, and he's, by and large, done some things that are progressive, and I think that's a good sign.
Well, he changed the view of the Catholic Church in such a small span of time.
He really has done that in a very short period
of
time.
And that's because of his former job. He used to be a bouncer.
Hey, Cardinal. Backers of a narrowly drawn budget deal are selling it as a way to stabilize Congress's shaky fiscal practices and mute some of the partisan rancor that has helped send lawmakers' public approval ratings plummeting. But the bipartisan pact doesn't solve long-term tax and spending issues, leaving liberals and conservatives alike grumbling.
So nothing's going to happen.
You know, no, here's the thing. Hey, grumblers, lick it. Bite it. Just shut up. I mean, if it's something that brings people together, at least temporarily, you can use that as a stepping stone to address the big issues.
Right.
So you're always going to get people that are going to grumble. The agreement, among other things, seeks to restore $63 billion in automatic spending cuts affecting programs ranging from parks, national parks, to the Pentagon. The deal to ease those cuts for 2 years is aimed less at chipping away the deficit than it is at trying to help a dysfunctional capital stop lurching from crisis to crisis.
Yeah.
And I do believe you would find the vast majority of Americans would probably say, if that's what it does, for now, that's good enough, at least
something
better than the stalemate
I'll
that we
take
have.
Anything that's a step in the right direction,
yeah, no
even
more
a
shutdowns.
Tiny step. Yeah.
Recognizing the deeper problems may lurk behind the botched rollout of the healthcare website, President Barack Obama's top health official Wednesday called for an investigation into management and contracting decisions.
Good.
Well, good timing on that.
Yeah.
Is that not now they're doing an investigation?
Then they rearrange the deck chairs on the Titanic.
God. Health and Human Services Secretary, the lady should have been fired, Kathleen Sebelius.
Ha!
She said in a blog post early Wednesday that she is asking the department's inspector general to investigate the contracting process, management, performance, and payment issues that may have contributed to the flawed launch of healthcare.gov. Well, that's good.
Well, really, what good does it do? Just fix it.
And then Sibelius went on to say, never buy the prepacked quarts of ice cream.
Amen. Yeah. And you know what? I'm going to go with that.
Yeah.
We should go today and do a taste test.
I can't.
Let's go now.
I can't. All right, let's go.
Really?
Yeah,
let's just do it.
Right now.
Ice cream cone.
A man who provided sign language. Have you heard this story?
Yes, and I don't want to laugh because it's not funny.
But the balls of this guy.
I know.
A man who provided sign language interpretation on stage for Nelson Mandela's memorial service, attended by scores of heads of state, was a fake. National Director for the Deaf Federation of South Africa said that on Tuesday. The unidentified man seen around the world doing sign language is a ruse.
Yeah, he was just making it up.
He was just moving his hands around, but no meaning in what he used his hands for.
How does
a deaf person not run out of the audience and like tackle the guy?
That's true. That's true.
Well, no one's going to hear them.
Statement,
yeah. All the deaf people.
That's like the dumbest thing I've said all day.
Get him!
That is the stupidest thing I've said.
Yeah.
How does a deaf person in South Africa not stop him? That's so stupid. Like all deaf people. How does a deaf person not use their magic powers that have been heightened because of their deafness?
How does an ill-tempered, angry deaf person...
Kill him!
When they hear about this...
Such an idiot.
I think what you were trying to say, Mike.
Yes, thank you, Oscar.
Is how does the Secret Service not realize this is happening?
I know.
Yeah, you
That's
know this
what
is
trying to say.
Because if this guy is nuts enough to pretend that he's a sign language interpreter,
right?
Imagine what else he might be capable of.
This is as gutsy as the guy. Remember the guy that did the fake birth announcement for Prince George?
Yes.
That came out in the outfit and stood in front of the palace, and went, "Oh
yeah." Yeah, but he wasn't standing next to the Queen Mother.
And somehow,
that's true. This guy trumped him.
I appreciate the guy with the bell a little bit more, because that was kind of mocking the whole thing.
True.
Whereas this was, just a guy that, that was a solemn occasion, although it was filled with joy commemorating the life of Nelson Mandela. You know, the guy, it's just terrible.
While you say that, I'm curious, do you have an opinion or do you have it about the selfie that the president took?
I do have an opinion on that. I actually wrote that down. And Obama and a selfie. Who gives an S?
I agree.
Worry about health care, okay? Really, if you're going to attack President Obama, attack him on what is shaping up to be the potential of a failed presidency based on this healthcare.gov situation. He takes a selfie with somebody. It was a celebration.
What people don't realize
at that memorial is there was a lot of dancing and a lot of singing, and people were celebrating
joyously. Michelle is bitter.
She's not looking happy. She's upset.
That white woman's trying to steal
her man. Well, she's upset because she actually, you don't know this. You don't know this.
So not true.
In high school, Michelle Obama was a member of Helping Hands, which is an organization that does sign language to music.
No, it's not Helping Hands. It was the Happy Hands Club from Napoleon Dynamite.
That's what a happy is, damn it.
And now Michelle Obama's going to perform as members of our Happy Hands Club.
And she couldn't understand a damn thing anyone was saying based on that sign language interpreter.
It was Denmark's prime minister.
And it was right after that Oscar said, "I did not know we were supposed to do a skit." Miami police say Lindsay Lohan is not being investigated in the beating of Paris Hilton's brother Baron over the weekend.
Stop that woman!
First of all, is Lindsay taking a little walk towards the big 3-0 now?
Gotta be.
And isn't Paris Hilton north of the big 30 now?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, correct.
So aren't they getting to the point where this is getting a little silly that they're at nightclubs and brawls?
Well, I mean,
I don't think so. I was in my 50s.
I love the fact that Lindsay Lohan is at least being considered as, like, essentially taking a hit out on a guy.
27. Right.
27 years old, Lindsay. Yes. A police spokesman says, quote, "Lindsay's name is never mentioned. If she had orchestrated it, we would have been told, and we didn't receive that information. There are reports that Baron is no longer pursuing..." I'm no longer pursuing charges. Baron Hilton. "I am no longer pursuing Lindsay Lohan and legal action."
Hey, Baron.
Yes, Rob.
Do you find it hard to run your family's hotels with no thumbs?
"I'm going down to the Puerto Rico property next week."
"I apologize. You have extra thumbs. You have thumbs on your feet."
"Get that, Abe? We would have had better sales at the Hilton properties without Lancelot Link."
Yes. Paris is 32.
She's 32? Yes.
There she is.
All right. There are reports that Baron Hilton. I can't say
I
it
can't
now.
Either.
I can't. The Baron Hilton is no longer pursuing charges. One source says it's because someone who was at the party threatened to release photos that show the whole thing was his fault.
Oh,
so
okay.
So we'll have to wait and see about that or not. 6-year-old Hunter Yelton is a first grader in Cannon City, Colorado. I welcome your comments on this story.
Okay.
Last week, he was sitting next to a girl in music class. Even though they're six, they say they're each other's boyfriend and girlfriend.
Okay.
And Hunter gave her a kiss on the hand. Kind of cute.
All right.
The teacher saw this, sent him to the principal's office, and his mother was called. And even though the girl was totally fine with Hunter kissing her hand, he was suspended from school. He is also going to get a mark on his permanent record for sexual harassment.
Mm. Oh, that's
a
not.
A six-year-old.
That is not cool.
That's very, very weird.
My thought on it is that I can understand in certain cases zero tolerance for that because it sometimes makes decision-making easier.
Right.
But to label a six-year-old a sexual discrimination?
Sexual harassment.
That's not cool.
Yeah, and he doesn't win because he has cooties now. You know?
The school says that it fits under their definition of sexual harassment. They ban all kissing at school. They say Hunter's also got in trouble before for kissing the same girl on the cheek.
Yeah.
So who knows, but it seems a little heavy-handed for a six-year-old.
And then also, zero tolerance oftentimes can get you into trouble when it starts looking this stupid.
True. And now a little something-something. Last week, 26-year-old Kaylin Marie Potenza of Deerfield Beach, Florida, went to her ex's place to confront him with his new girlfriend. When she went to the door, he brandished a shotgun. So she ran off.
I guess.
And he also threw some boots at her when she was running away.
Nice boots.
So she did what everybody in Florida does.
What's
she came
that?
Back and used lighter fluid from his grill and her cigarette to set his door on fire.
Well, of course.
God. Shocker, she had a pack of smokes. His new girlfriend ended up putting out the fire. Kaylin was arrested for 2 counts of arson. She told the cops she did it, quote, I love Florida.
Why?
To get closure on her relationship.
Yeah, she learned a word on Dr. Phil, and she uses it to explain that she set a door on fire.
Her ex-boyfriend, Brian Morris, was also arrested because of the shotgun and throwing of the boots.
Yeah, well, boot throwing is bad.
He was charged with aggravated assault with a firearm and domestic battery, and they all know that this is the most wonderful time of the day.
The Mike O'Mara Show.
Welcome back to the show, Whoa, Whoa, brought to you by our Amazon page. It is a brand new year. We love Amazon, and we know you will, too. And a great way to support this show, as a matter of fact, the number one way, is really to go to MikeOMaraShow.com/Amazon to get everything you need. How about office supplies? That's a huge one for us. So many listeners of the Mike O'Mara Show buy their office products through Amazon and through the Mike O'Mara Show's Amazon page. Always open, whether it's paper clips, coffee, cleaning supplies. If you need it, Amazon has it. Today and every day, a great way to save money and support the show. Remember, click Amazon at MikeOMaraShow.com and don't be afraid to bookmark it. Here's to a great 2014. Cheers, everybody. Now, without further ado, let's get this ought to be interesting.
Yeah, I think so.
Gentlemen.
It's time for Oscar Rock.
It sure is, Mike.
Whitney Houston's daughter secretly marries.
What?
Really? How old is she? She's old enough.
She is 20 years old.
Bobby Christina? God. Is that her name?
No. It's not her name. But she is. I'm hammered.
Hold it. Do you want to start again?
Gentlemen. Whitney Houston's daughter secretly marries.
Now you have to ask if she's old enough.
Is she old enough?
Yes, she is. She's 20 years old.
That seems odd. Is that Bobby Christina?
It is.
There we go.
Fix it in the editing, pony.
You got it.
So she didn't tell Daddy? She didn't tell Bobby Brown?
Yeah, but listen
Robert
to this.
Robert Brown.
Bob Brown. My father's boss.
Was it really?
Bob Brown.
Bob Brown?
Yeah, Bob Brown.
She marries.
Texan. Huh?
Her half-brother.
What?
Or stepbrother.
Yeah, that's a big difference.
If it's a half brother, you're having.
You are plowed.
I knew. You're not disappointing me right now. She married her half brother.
Well, I'll explain.
Or stepbrother.
It's confusing to me.
Okay. Mike, so she married a Martian. I mean, a guy from New York City.
Now, hold on. Stepbrother is children that you're related to by marriage.
That's right.
Half-brother is what my daughters are to my son.
Exactly, which is why he should never marry.
So a half-brother, I mean, that's
well,
more...
Well, I'll explain to you the situation.
There's no
Rocky
blood...
Road.
No blood relation.
Whitney Houston...
If you marry your half-brother... If you marry your half-brother, you're going to cause some sort of genetic defect.
Here's Lewis Black.
The defect would be the mixing of the gene pool that'll cause distress.
That's oh right. God. Her name is Bobby Christina, Lewis.
Bobby Christina, daughter of Bobby Brown and Whitney Houston, for the love of God.
This should clear things up.
I don't think they should have bred in the first place.
She secretly got married to the man her mother informally adopted when he was 12.
I really said I wasn't going to do the Lewis Black today, and this is why, because my head now is going, blah,
take a moment.
Did you hear that?
So it's your stepbrother.
Well, again, you got to help
but
me
But not
with
even
this.
Legal. It's an unofficial adoption. It's almost like she mentored him or just accepted them into that. Is there
she
any paperwork?
She informally adopted him
so
when he was
no
12.
Paperwork. So
but they grew up together in their teens.
Well, it's kind of like Woody Allen and Sun Yi.
A little bit, except no, because she was never his father. They were like, you know, playmates, maybe.
It's weird.
Bobby Brown, he tweets
Bob
out.
Bob Brown.
Yeah, Bob Brown. He tweets out, this should work. That's all. No congratulations, no nothing.
Well, what you do is you take advice from him because he always makes it work.
You're absolutely right.
So Bob the guy's Brown. Name is Nick Gordon?
The guy's name is Nick Gordon.
He's a very nice looking man.
Right?
Nick Gordon and Bobby Christina Brown attending the Houstons on our own.
But they grew up together. Isn't that weird?
I think it is.
A little weird.
Yeah, it's kind of a strange thing. It makes you wonder, but they're not a half-brother. That's like taboo.
That is taboo.
Some of the women walking around that casino probably are into that thing.
Yeah.
Guys, I'm going to mix a little sports into this. We talked about this last night.
Yeah, and incidentally, sorry for not mentioning the Jay Gruden hire. Probably touch on that next week on the Mike O'Mara Show because I think Dan Snyder has done what Dan Snyder always does. He's played fantasy football, and he went out and got the big name with nothing really to back
up.
But
what about the Super Bowl next year?
Yeah.
Huh?
Oh, yeah. We're going to the bowl.
Go to the bowl. Yeah.
Go ahead, sports, Oscar.
A 5-year contract for Jay Gruden.
Jay Gruden, and what is your thought on the hire? You think it's a good move?
You know, it's splashy just simply because it's John Gruden's brother.
And that's why Dan Snyder likes it, because he watches John Gruden on TV. John Gruden is a tough guy.
Right.
Dan Snyder likes the whole tough guy. Hey, the X's and O's. I think John Gruden had a great run as a head coach. Nobody can take that away from him. But who's to say whether Jay Gruden is going to be the optimum replacement?
We'll
have
out.
To wait and see. That's why they play the game.
And are they brothers or stepbrothers or half-brothers?
I'll have to get back to you on that.
Well, I remember, I think it was 5 years ago, Jay Gruden and John Gruden secretly wed.
And God. Bob Brown said this should work.
And then they went to see Love, Cirque du Soleil.
Back to entertainment.
With Pat House.
With Patrick House.
Shia LaBeouf.
Yes.
He was latest in the news for plagiarism.
Yes, big scandal. Our friend Patton Oswalt didn't like that one little
Today
bit.
Today he mentions that he's going to retire from all public life in the wake of his plagiarism uproar.
So no more acting?
No more acting, no more working, just a private life.
What will we do?
Wow.
What will we do without another Shia LaBeouf?
I really, really liked him until about a year ago.
He played Indiana Jones' son, right?
Yes.
Half-son.
I loved him in the movie where...
Stepson.
The bad guy moves in next door. What
oh,
was the
it
name
was
of
like,
that movie?
It was like...
Disturbia.
Disturbia, way to go.
And he was under
Disturbia.
House arrest, right? So he had to stay in his house?
Yes, fantastic
That was a
movie.
Good movie. I like
My favorite Shia LaBeouf movie.
Back to sports.
Yes.
The New York Yankees will have to continue paying Alex Rodriguez.
He won?
No, he didn't win.
Oh, he didn't win.
But per his contract on January 15th, he will get a $3 million paycheck regardless if he plays or he doesn't.
That's so bad for the Yankees.
And when he comes back, if it's 2 years,
right?
If it's how many games was it? It was a 200 game deal, right?
Yeah, it's
something
huge,
something
right,
huge.
Right.
When he comes back, he's only 6 home runs away from a $6 million bonus.
Do you think this is good for the Yankees?
I don't know.
It's great for him.
It's great for him. But do you think it's good for the Yankees?
I don't, Mike.
Can you imagine? He's still gonna get paid $3 million.
What a dick! Doesn't
right?
deserve it.
For sitting on his ass.
Bad for baseball. He's a bad guy. Everybody knows that.
Hey, he's bad, right?
He's bad, right?
Sure.
Speaking of bad, Justin Bieber's in the news again.
What did he do?
This is why. I wonder if fame changes people or it just makes you act like you're 14 years old.
Hasn't changed me.
Police are investigating Justin Bieber for allegedly vandalizing his neighbor's home.
What?
Yes. Can you believe that?
No. Police have arrested him for vandalizing
his
neighbor's?
They are investigating.
Oh, investigating.
What did he do, spray paint?
No, all he did was, apparently his neighbor was out on his porch, saw Justin Bieber doing something dumb on the deck, wherever. They're in Calabasas. Huge homes.
Sure.
Instead of going back and forth to them just with a neighborly discussion, he threw 20 eggs and egged the man's house.
Justin Bieber egged the man's house?
Yes.
Wow.
Why would you even do that?
You know what? Here's just, I could be totally off base.
Yeah.
Scenarios that Justin Bieber's out there. Oh, look at that dude. What's he staring at? Why is he staring at me? Yeah, even though the guy owns a house in that neighborhood.
Right.
Why is he staring at me? Let's throw some eggs at him. Because he's a douche.
Yeah. Right? He sent someone out in his chrome car to buy eggs. Right. And then they threw the eggs.
You know, until I get more evidence, I'm on the side against Bieber.
Okay.
Bieber.
There's pictures and the police are still investigating.
Ah, let's see the end result of that game.
That's Oscar Rotzi for today.
Yay, Oscar! Yay!
Thank you very much.
Wait, don't go. I need to tell you that MikeOMaraShow.com/Amazon is perfect for all your online shopping needs. Shop the best way. Shop Amazon. And please go through our website, always open at MikeOMaraShow.com/Amazon.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.